Good morning, everybody. How are we today? Going well? How good was the Christmas pageant last night? Who watched it? Anyone watch the Christmas pageant last night? It was pretty special, wasn't it? It was pretty good to see that. So my name's Trevor, those who don't know me, and it's been my privilege to be here over the last little while. Really got enjoying this congregation, so thank you very much for your welcome here. Over the last little while, we've been looking at the armour of God. Now, the great thing about armour is it's not just a protective thing. It's also a thing that enables us to stand strong, to stand confident, and to stand sure of who we are because we have a God who loves us. Today, we're looking at the shield of faith. Now, where is the shield? The shield is often over this part of our body. What else is in this part of our body? Our hearts. And our heart is often parallel with love, compassion, empathy, all that sort of stuff. I know for me, I'm totally inept at love. You know, I'm still learning what love is, and you know, but I've been around for a while, I'm still so inept at love. We do our best in the world, and we try our best, and we try to make a positive difference to whoever it is that we come across. This is the great thing about the shield of faith. We can stand, and we can stand and love other people. This is the great thing about the shield of faith. Of course, we know what love is because our Heavenly Father actually showed us his love by sending his son Jesus to die on the cross for us. So it's incredible to know that the Creator of the universe would choose to love us the way he does, with an overwhelming, incredible, incredible love. The shield of faith today. Let us pray. Father God, I thank you that we thank you that you have called us here today. Whether we are sitting in this building or whether we are online, you have called us here today. We have not come out of habit, we've come because you have wanted us to be here. Father God, we thank you for your amazing love for us. Thank you that it is an overwhelming love, it's a faithful love, it is love that will never, ever go, no matter what we do or where we are. You are always there. So Father God, please thank you that you will be in our worship today. May it be pleasing to you, and may we leave here changed people today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'll raise a banner. Sing with us if you may.
We tend to live a perfect life. He came to be the living word, our light. He came to die so we'd be reconciled. He came to rise.
Please be seated. For our prayers today, I'm going to say a sentence, and then I'll finish with, "We pray," and I want you to respond, "Be our freedom, Lord." So you'll get the hang of it. We've got 20 lines or so. So let's pray. God, our Creator, you are maker of heaven and earth. We pray, be our freedom, Lord. God, our Redeemer, in Christ you have come to us. We pray, be our freedom, Lord. God, our Sustainer, you comfort and disturb us. We pray, be our freedom, Lord. God, one God beyond understanding, made known in Jesus, present in our midst. We pray, be our freedom, Lord. By your incarnation, your birth in poverty, your baptism, your fasting, and trials in the desert, we pray, be our freedom, Lord. By your agony in the garden, by your cross and passion, by your death and your burial, by your resurrection, ascension, and the gifts of your Holy Spirit, we pray, be our freedom, Lord. In times of trouble, when all goes well, at the hour of we die, on the day of your glory, we pray, be our freedom, Lord. From war and violence, from hardness of heart, from contempt and content from your love and your promises. We pray, be our freedom, Lord. Enlighten our lives with your word, that in that we may find our way and our hope. We pray, be our freedom, Lord. Assist your people in every land. Govern them in peace and justice. Defend them from the enemies of life. We pray, be our freedom, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Keith.
Bible reading this morning is from Ephesians chapter 6. I'm reading verses 10 to 18. The whole armour of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armour of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armour of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. This is the word of God.
Hey, look, we have a birthday boy in our midst. We have other people we haven't seen for a long time, and if you're visiting for the first time, great to see you. And as part of our time together, normally we have our kids spot for those here and those online. So today, we've got the shield of God. I'm going to give you this little mic here. There we go, Sammy. You're live here today. So I want to ask you some questions. So today we're talking about the shield of God. Now, we don't use shields very often in our modern world, but shields protect us. So there's other things we've in our lives that protect us. Like, so what part of the body does this protect?
Your head.
So the head, all right. Yes, it's good. What about this? What do these protect?
Your hands.
Your hands, all right. What about this?
Your head again.
Head again, all right. What about this? Hey, damn good. What is... Oh, let me help. Sure. La, 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 la. A little sing amongst yourself while I get this ready. Ah, what's that protect?
Every part of your body, of course.
Every part of your body, of course. So we're talking about rain off our body. What does this protect?
Your foot.
Your foot, all right. And what does this protect?
Your heart.
I could try putting that in my pocket, couldn't I, and going to war. I'm sure that'd save me. Well, how does the Bible protect us? That's a good question, isn't it?
God's word is in the Bible. That's why it can protect your heart.
God's word's in the Bible. That's why it can protect your heart. Well, you can all go home now. I think that's the end of the lesson. Well done, Sam. Good job. Woohoo! Should have worn my gloves, shouldn't I? That would have protected. So, all right, so in Sunday school today, you're going to be thinking about the shield of faith. How is the Bible going to protect us? It's not like it stops us getting rained on. It's not like I can wear it. I can't put it on my feet. So somehow this Bible protects us. It's got really interesting. So, Scotty, I'm looking forward to the answers, brother. So let me share a short prayer for you online. I hope you're doing some research too. All right, let me pray. Lord Jesus, as we try and think about how the Bible, the Word of God, helps us, protects us, we ask that we continue to explore this thing. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So we've got some notices. Young kids are going to go out and do some Sunday school stuff. This is the time here. We've already had our welcome to each other, which is nice. Thank you. So I've got some notices. The Christmas market. Remember, the Christmas market is not the strawberry fair. So it's a different thing. We're endeavouring to be a blessing to the community. And these are some letterbox envelopes you can drop in as the Holy Spirit leads. So Marge's got a bundle of, they're in bundles of 10. You can grab some, hand them out down your street. And if you're a neighbour, maybe figure out which side of the street you're going to do. Otherwise, you'll just do the same letterboxes, which is a bit pointless. But the idea is, again, it's an invitation opportunity to advertise in a, just a real personal way. Now, one of the other things I need to continue to remind you, TG's done a great job being our treasurer for a number of years. At the end of this year, he concludes. So we need a treasurer for next year. Now, I've got a couple of options. One is to pick up the whole process. The second would be to divide the job up into different areas. So we'd get maybe a synod to do bookkeeping. So if you've got some skill sets that you think you might collectively be able to help us build a treasurer, then come and chat to me. Again, we're just trying to spread the workload. So we need one for next year, otherwise there'll be Dave's dodgy accounting. And you don't want me to be the treasurer next year, I can give you the big tip. All right, congregational meeting, December the 13th. Be there or be square. The next couple of weeks, I'm actually going to take a couple of weeks off. I finally did my maths and figured I've had 2 weeks off in 2 years, so I think that's really bad planning. So I'm going to take the next couple of weeks off. Marge is going to take next Sunday, and David Mack is going to take the following Sunday. So David Mack's going to launch us into Advent, and Marge is going to finish off the Armour series. So that's great. I really appreciate that. Any other notices? I think I'm done. Again, if you're visiting first time, welcome. If you rolled out of bed for the first time, welcome. All right, that's enough for me. Let's continue our worship together. Thank you. Our prayers of intercession. Good on you.
Good morning, everyone. When I was thinking about the approach I'd take to intercessory prayers this week, I was continually reminded of David's messages over the last few weeks on the armour of God. So I was prompted to use this as a guide for our prayers for others and ourselves this morning. My prayer for us all is that we put on the armour of God. Let's pray. This year's been a year like none of us experienced before. We Australians have a reputation as a tough and resilient people. And I pray for resilience for us all. We thank you for the resilience of our people, for those who've led us politically. Give them the continued boldness to make the tough decisions and do the right thing for us all. For their opponents and fellow politicians who, under the circumstances, have put away their political bickering and backed the leaders by their support for key initiatives. May this continue and our leaders stay bold in their commitment to getting us all back on track. For those first responders and healthcare professionals and support teams who've performed a tremendous job as we've faced bushfires and COVID. For the resilience of business owners and community leaders who may have suffered financially. We pray for the gift of healing. There have been many of us who have suffered physical and mental health issues during this tough period. We pray for resilience and healing from those things which have been an impediment to our ability to function as normal. We thank you again for our health professionals who continue to operate under stress in dealing with our health issues. We also thank you for the support we've received from those family and friends around us as we deal with our own health issues. We pray for boldness. Boldness to do what we know and believe is right when this may mean taking some tough and potentially unpopular decisions. We also pray for boldness in reaching out to those around us, sometimes when it's outside our comfort zone, in helping mend broken relationships, some of which have been festering for some time. We pray for sensitivity. Sensitivity to be aware of the needs of others and not just the issues we're facing. Sensitivity, how we can help others in their current segment of life's journey. We also pray for discernment. One of the real benefits of the trials we've been facing this year is that we've had the opportunity to sit back and have a look at what's really important in our lives. We change the way we do things, the way we relate to people. Sometimes we have to lose the battle to win the war. Help us to see what is really important in the long term, to look beyond the immediate and to make sure that we put our strength in one another, for the bonds with family and friends and our relationship with you. We pray for unity. Unity for our country, our families, and our gathering here in this your house. Praise be to you, our comfort, our strength, and our Redeemer. Amen.
Please remain seated as we sing Have Faith in God.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for the words we've sung, for the prayers we've prayed, for the scripture we've heard. We ask that you would continue to help us apply this to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I wasn't sure if that was thunder. Was that thunder we heard? I was thinking, man, you got to take your foot off the drum. What are you doing? Boo, boo. So it's like, yes. I'm just imagining my dog at home is just losing himself somewhere, you know. Thunder, lightning is very, very frightening for poor old Jet. All right, so armor of God. We're up to the shield of faith, number four. Now, the good thing about a five-week series is that it's 5 weeks. And this is week four, and Marge is going to tie it up nicely next week. So we're almost done. We've looked at the belt of truth, which connects and stabilizes the chest plate of righteousness. And the chest plate of righteousness helps us stand firm on that day, on that week, on that year. And we've talked about the good news shoes, you know, the things that we apply that fit nicely. God's love that settles into us. And that truth that there is no condemnation for those in Jesus Christ. So that's the prelude to where we get to. And the shield. Now, we're not used to shields, are we? None of us. When was the last time we... Actually, talking of shields, I saw someone in a Trump rally with a big shield. You know, Trump Warrior, I think he had on his shield. So they still exist, but that's pretty out there. But shields in Paul's time, in Jesus' time, were an integral part of the combat ensemble. So like a Roman warrior had a shield, unless they were a scout, where a big bulky shield would be ridiculous. Can't hide when you've got a 4-foot shield. But the majority of Roman soldiers had shields, and they were an integral part of their armor. In fact, they were designed to actually be an essential part. And as we know, the Roman soldier looked like that. And so that's the size of the shield. That's huge. That's a massive protective piece of kit. And you can see why it was such a valuable part of their strategy. In fact, the Roman strategy for warfare was based around these cohesive units having shields, all being dressed the same. They didn't get a choice about what they did or what they wore. You know, you couldn't just mix and match when you're the Roman army. Oh, no, fill up the shield, too heavy. I want something small, maybe a bit of feather. Or, you know, it just didn't happen. They had formalized what they had to wear. And even the Australian army, if you damage your kit, if you lose your kit, if your kit is not clean, you know, you're in trouble. You get charged. And soldiers spend hours just making sure they haven't damaged their stuff. And even the webbing they use, all the packet, you know, you've got your band-aids in one area, you've got your... Everything's in the same area, so if there's an injury, automatically soldiers know where to go. So that's great, tourniquets and that sort of stuff. Paul said, put on your chest plate. Wear whatever shoes you like. Pick up your shield. All of these things seem to be optional, don't they? Paul doesn't say, if you don't pick it up, you're not a Christian. Paul says, it's optional. Put on, pick up, wear. So we don't have to wear it. But the question is, what do we lose if we don't? It's a bit like, you know, if the police rock up to a scene and they just wear what they like, you know, you can imagine having someone they're trying to arrest, you know, the two police officers stopping and say, hey, just sorry, mate. Did you bring your cuffs? No, I thought you were going to bring cuffs. What about the taser? Have you got a taser? Nah, I haven't got a taser. Oh. Well, what about if you're a fire chief and you rock up to a burning house and the fire chief says, get the ladder. Ladder? What, you didn't bring a ladder? Ladder? Well, everybody's got ladder. Why do we need to bring one? It's on the truck. Oh, you want us to bring the truck as well? What? I suppose you want the hose too? You know, there are some things that are not optional or extras. And the reason we talk about an ensemble and armor of God is because they fit together for a reason. I sometimes think that as Christians, if you could do a visual, like if you could paint the sort of armor you're wearing today, I wonder what that would look like. You know, would it just be a hodgepodge of stuff? Things you just sort of randomly stuck together because, well, you like the way number plates look over your shoulder. And you know, the smarga around your head looks really sensational. Or maybe you've decided to go with a Ned Kelly look. Who needs that other stuff? It's just... Or maybe you like something a bit more post-apocalyptic. You've got the cross there, but you've got your own sort of... I don't know. If we did an inventory, how much of that armor we've been talking about have you worn, do you wear? It's an interesting question, isn't it? Fascinating stuff. And that's the whole part of why we're discussing this. Because maybe that's just part of human nature. Now, most of us have been watching the elections in America, haven't we? And we've been caught up a little bit maybe in the dump Trump canteen or whatever it's been happening. And I feel sorry for Donald Trump because he was really truthful when he said, I love winning. I hate losing. And the last week he's losing and you can just see how grumpy he is. He's just like thrown all his toys out of the pen. He's just not happy. But human nature, it's like, it's a complex thing. Things stir us in lots of different ways. And sometimes I think as Christians, we get overconfident, we get overcomfortable. I mean, we hear stuff about the Bible for so long. I mean, how many people have been here, have been a Christian longer than 10 years? Hands up. For those of you home, okay, good. 20 years. Who have been Christians longer than 20 years? 30 years. 40? 50? 60? Half the congregation? Oh, not quite. A third? So you people are actually being Christians longer than I've been alive. Not that I'm trying to make you feel old. Al, how long have you been a Christian for? About 90 years. So there you go. Alan's been a Christian for 90 years. So there's about 6 years when he wasn't a Christian. So, hey, what are you doing there? So what I'm saying is that here I come along on a Sunday and we're reading Scripture and I'm talking to you about the armor of God. And maybe you've heard that 10 times in your life already. How does this stuff get fresh to us? How does this sink into us? I had a great conversation with someone during the week. He said exactly that. David, you know, have you thought of mixing up your sermons? I said, oh, what do you mean? He says, well, like, you know, I've heard the armor of God so many times. I said, well, I guess I could randomly do something different, you know, and just throw everybody off point or key. He says, well, maybe that would make it a bit more interesting. Now, what he was really trying to say was, not that I'm totally boring, though sometimes maybe I am, but but how do you keep fresh when you've heard Scripture for 50 years or 5 years? I mean, I rarely watch a movie twice, the same movie twice. I rarely read a book twice that I've already read. How do we keep this stuff fresh? How does this engage us and connect us? It's really a good question. And particularly when we look at your now of faith is made of your yesterday of faith. Now, stick with me. Your tomorrow of faith is made up of your today of faith. So your today's faith has been shaped from your past. Okay? So what you've done in your past years have led to this point now. What you do now shapes your future years of faith. So the reason it's so important that we just don't stick our faith on the shelf is because unlike compound interest, our faith doesn't simply grow by itself. Our faith is like a tree. It needs to be nurtured and trimmed and watered. That's how it grows. And I think one of the things that we sometimes forget is that it's so vital to continue to engage with our experiences in life. Faith and experience have to mesh, regardless how hard they are. And I've been talking about the Psalms. The Psalms are people's endeavors to be real, to be angry at God, to be angry at their situation, but to bring their faith to God. So with tears, with laughter, with distress, they're talking to God. They're not ignoring God. They're engaging their faith with God in the hardship of life. So for me, what makes faith and Scripture, even though we've heard it 50 times, relevant and alive, is our context. Now, there's not too many people here who've been through a pandemic. I could be wrong. Anybody been through a pandemic before? Has anybody been through a massive bushfire like we did at the beginning of the year? So maybe, yeah, maybe we've had bushfires. Yeah. So our context shapes how we read the Bible. If you've had serious health injuries, your serious health injury shapes your context of how you read the Bible. If you're utterly bored, stupid, your boredom shapes how you do or don't read the Bible. Doesn't it? So that's the interesting part of why we bring what's going on now to this Scripture. So in the midst of this pandemic, we are exploring how we grow our faith. It's been a really strange year. We've really found ourselves often twiddling our thumbs wondering, why am I doing what I'm doing? And lots of people have made really some really creative changes of directions because they've had to stop. In South Australia, we've only had to stop for 6 weeks. You know, like Victoria has been 3 months. The rest of the world, they're still stopping and starting all over the place. But that context helps us stop and engage the question of my faith in Jesus, How am I growing this stronger? What is happening? How am I connecting with it? And while it doesn't sound really interesting, because you're having to do the work, I'm not giving you the answers. That's where this comes a bit of an interesting challenge, because you are having to engage your experience with your faith to explore those difficult, boring, exciting parts of your faith. Sometimes I just have to check where I am on the screen, you know, because I actually, if I follow my notes, I end up at a different place. But look, for me, faith is dynamic. It's one of those vital things, and I've been a Christian for probably 37, almost 40 years, and I think it's been a dynamic experience. There have been times when it's been more vital than other times, more vibrant than other times. The times I've just seemed to be becalmed, you know, sitting in the middle of the ocean somewhere, waiting for some wind to come along. Other times it's been like an ocean full of chaos. But faith is dynamic. Faith is something that we're engaging and wanting God to impact us on. And we learn as we grow from faith. And one of the wonderful things about faith is we only need faith that is that big. So if you somehow think your faith is not big enough, Jesus says, hey, this is all you need. This big. Because faith grows. It's dynamic. It grows as you engage with it. So, how has your faith grown this year? Has it grown? I mean, have you found yourself, like if you had to use a metaphor for your life, have you sort of been becalmed somewhere in a nice little pleasant lagoon and just waiting for something to happen? Or have you been on the high seas, just being tossed left, right and center? I mean, just pause for a moment. What sort of, how is your life, your everything connected? I mean, have you grown? Has it been challenged? Have you just been bored? Just think for a moment while I go and pick up my remote. So, one of the things that while I've been talking to you individually, one of the powerful things about the shield of faith is that the Romans understood really clearly that you didn't achieve greatness on the battlefield or whatever by yourself. In fact, they used to call this system the tortoise. And so what they'd do is all the soldiers would lock their shields in, ones around the front would drop, and then everybody else would just simply pull their shields above their head. And so it became a mobile tank 2,000 years ago. And again, so part of the journey of faith is we are not doing this by ourselves. And while we're a bit more dispersed than we'd normally be, one of the powers we have of faith is that we are not alone. Now, grief and loss draws us into our own little world, but we're not alone. I remember when I was doing a presentation for ATODS, alcohol, tobacco, and other drugs, I was using the man in the mirror, or the person in the mirror, as a poem. And it was talking about, you know, if you get to the end of the life and you've done all these wonderful things, but you look at yourself in the mirror and the person you see something looking back at you, you don't even like, then you've missed something. And I remember someone saying, well, do I have to do this by myself? And I think it's a really good question, because the answer is no, we don't have to do this by ourselves. And one of the beautiful things about being the body of Christ in all our different shapes and sizes is that we together are stronger. And it's not about me having to get my act together and to be perfect, because that's just not how it works. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. The only person who was got crucified. So it's not something to aspire to. Perfection is not something we have. And so that frees us up to recognize we all got faults. But the collective journey together keeps us stronger, helps us stand firm. And it's a simple message. It's a fundamental message of hope, really, for me and others. So, all right, I thought I'd finish with getting you to do a bit of think time. So pick up your shield of faith. You only need faith as big as a mustard seed to move mountains. So the question is, throughout this year, When have you been aware of your faith sustaining you? So have there been times this year when you thought, oh, thank God for my faith? Or there been a point when you just was really conscious of prayer maybe having a more powerful point in your life? I don't know. Just take a moment. Because part of what we need to do is become aware of those points and make it a part of our history. So as we go forward, it shapes us, our future. So I'll leave you to think about that for a little while. I often think that being a Christian is a bit like being an apprentice, although probably with less educational direction. Now, by that I mean, you know, there's a lots of different ways we can disciple each other and grow in our faith. But in the end, when something comes along, it's just we have to somehow put our faith and apply our faith, even if we're maybe inexperienced in dealing with a pandemic. We've somehow got to figure things from our past to bring to these situations. And I remember that for me, there's things that are happening all the time that are surprising. I remember when I was an apprentice cabinet maker, my boss said to me, right, David, I want you to go down to Wattle Paints and get some lacquer. He says, oh, sure, take my car. I thought, is that the Commodore, you know, the new one you've just bought? Yes. Is that the one that's a manual? And he said, yes. I said, I can't drive manuals. And he said, I don't care, crash it and I'll kill you. Okay, so I sat in the car with the key, and I must have been there for 10 minutes. And one of the other tradesmen came along, knocked on the window and said, what are you doing? I said, I can't find reverse. He said, well, what you do is you depress, put your foot on the clutch, depress down and push up. Oh, good, thank you. I said, before you go, how do you actually drive manuals? I've never driven them. What do you do? He said, well, what you do is when you get out on the road, put in first, put your foot on the clutch, change gears. Oh, okay. So what really would be a normally 20-minute journey took me about 45 minutes as I bunny hopped down the road. And I think it's almost an illustration of what it's like in faith. Sometimes we can have 50 years of faith and we come to situations like this and we end up just bunny hopping down the road. But that's okay, because we're you know, it's just that's just life. It's just what happens. Experience and life throws things at us that we really can't plan for, because we have to experience it. And the experiencing thing is the hard part. And so if you find yourself bunny hopping through this year, that's okay. And if we keep bunny hopping into next year, well, that's okay. Because eventually we figure out how that works and how we can apply our faith in this changed, strange environment. So that's my prayer for you, that as we put on the shield of faith, we recognize that this is all new. Regardless of how many years you've been a Christian, this is new stuff we're dealing with. So take a breath, put your armor on, and try and find first. Let me share a prayer with you. Lord, as we endeavor to try and, I guess, connect with something that would continue to grow our faith today, we ask that your Holy Spirit would continue to stir within us different ideas and thoughts this week. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
So much thought-provoking stuff in that sermon, eh? I don't know if you're the same as me, but I have to go home and think about a lot about what David's just said and really understand what's going on over these last few months and come out of it with a way forward. I hope you can too. Please stand as we sing the great song, Days of Elijah.
Declaring the word of the Lord, and these are the days of your
Remember to pick up some of these if you like. Have a chat to Marge or Leon if you've got any questions. Our adapted motto is connect with people and choose life. Because to grow stronger through COVID, we have to pass on God's love. So in other words, connecting means phoning up, going for a coffee, emailing. You know, a neighbor could be a friend. It could be someone we meet when we're handing out these brochures. So again, it's just trying to be open and creative as we engage on this, because we want to continue to get healthier in our faith as a community, as individuals. And so as you go into this week, know that the love of God goes with you. Go in peace to serve the Lord. Amen.